Hey everyone, it's early today, not even 11 o'clock in the morning. I had a phone call from a friend of mine that delivered some bad news. A couple of things I want to talk about. One thing I want to talk about specifically today, and you can probably get that from the title of the of this particular episode, and that is it worth dying for? The two people I'm about to describe are both males, both men, or both men. I've known them both, give or take, since I was about 6 years old. We went to the same school together, Kentucky School for the Blind. So they, even though they had better vision than me, in fact, both these men could see to read small print. I've never been able to see small print without electronic magnification, but they could. They'd have to put their nose on the paper, but they could still see it. They were both incredibly smart men. I mean, intelligence off the chart. One was incredibly talented, but they were very much people persons. So anyway, about a year and a half ago, we got the news that a friend of mine, and I don't know if I should just use names, that's probably not appropriate, so, but just to keep him straight, I'll just say Dan. He'd gone through a divorce, and a very emotional guy, okay? Kind of annoying, to be honest. The kind of guy that always stood too close to somebody, always laughed too loudly. But again, had the heart of gold. He got married and subsequently got divorced. I guess he must have been about, I guess he was 41. And he had a 13-year-old son. He and his wife had they had kind of an ugly divorce. But he loved his son dearly. And last year, his mother, and why she did this, I'll never know. Again, being a Kentucky woman, for his birthday, I guess his birthday or something, he had asked her for a gun. Now, if you'd known Dan, you would have realized that this is not the kind of guy that you want having a gun in his possession. Not because he'd hurt somebody else, just because he liked to drink. And as befalls a lot of people in the southern states, you know, drinking is kind of a way of life. I hate to say it, but personally, I can't stand alcohol, but he loved to drink. So anyway, his mother got him this gun, took it down to him. And yes, you know, Kentucky women would buy a gun. I don't know. And of course, a week later, he calls her drunk as a skunk and tells her he's going to kill himself. Says he loves her, hangs up the phone, and shoots his brains out. Okay, just to make it short. And why did he do this? Because he had just gotten dumped from apparently his first real love interest since his divorce. He loved her dearly, and apparently she loved him, but she had a 9-year-old daughter, and the daughter just didn't like him. And the woman, who made the right choice, by the way, told my friend Dan that, you know, if my daughter doesn't like you or is not comfortable, we really can't date. He had a way of making people uncomfortable. You know, I love the guy, but he just did. He's nervous energy, just as is with many brilliant people, just a lot of really nervous energy. I'm sure he probably scared the little girl a little bit. Not because he wanted to, he's just very loud and whatever. And I wish more single parents, men and women, would put their children ahead of the romance lives or sex lives. But this woman did. And so she summarily dumped him. And, you know, he was always emotional in high school, too. Let me get that straight. But anyway, so he'd been tired anyway. And the doctors had told him last year, I know he and I talked, and he said that his vision was going to get worse. And in about 10 years from last year, he would probably be totally blind. So, and remember, he'd had better vision than me. So the thought of that was looming in front of him also. So he killed himself, and I can only imagine what his mother, knowing she's the one who provided the instrument of his death, can think. I mean, he had asked me at one time to buy a gun from him. He'd asked another one of my buddies to buy a gun for him, and we had said, you got to be crazy. First off, I wouldn't buy a gun for anybody, because like I said, you know, I just feel responsible. I don't want to be at the source of any mishaps of a lethal weapon. Okay, fast forward now to today. I guess the guy who would be considered my best friend in Kentucky, again, known him since 6 years old, and we weren't always best friends. We didn't get along in grade school, grammar school, but as we got older, you know, to say that he and I are close would be an understatement. Interesting to know that he and I both married women with the same name. First name. Go figure, huh? Anyway. Well, his brother, older than both of us by about 2 years, 3 years. Again, brilliant. Just, in fact, he was the golden child of the school. And we all thought he was going to be president someday. But it didn't happen out that way. He found alcohol, I guess, early in life. And, in fact, never left this working in that vicinity. A lot of blind people that I've known stay close to the school for the blind or the areas. Very rare do many of us leave home and truly go out on our own. I don't know why. We'll talk about that another day. But anyway, he too had excellent vision, but he's had an alcohol problem for about, God, 20 years, give or take. And I guess he kind of upped the ante to including sleeping pills, prescription drugs, whatever. And they found him dead this morning. After there was going to be an inquisition as to him being drunk on the job. And, he's going to get busted. So there you have it. That's two. Now, these are the two that touched me the most. However, I must tell you that I know of at least maybe five other people from my high school, all blind people. Interesting enough, all who could see better than me. So, you know, I'm thinking, geez, these people had it made, who have committed suicide over the years, although up until now it's always been girls, you know, females. I would be kidding you if I told you I hadn't thought about suicide many, many times throughout my life. I suppose, well, when I was younger, it never occurred to me, but then, I think the most recent serious time I thought about, well, I guess I had a heartbreak once that I considered it for a second, then I thought, get out of here. But anyway, well, I think I told you back in 2001 when I lost my vision, I woke up one day and I couldn't see, and the doctor didn't know why. It was in that moment that I truly wanted, I just thought, okay, it's over. Not because I didn't think I could do it, because I didn't want to do it. You get so tired sometimes, you know? I mean, I'd gone all my life being legally blind and with rotten vision, and now what little I had was gone and without explanation. And as you know, I did get some residual vision back about 3 weeks later after surgery, 2 weeks later. But at this point, I didn't, you know. So I had decided, okay, when the doctor said I have no idea and I lost my, I mean, I truly, for just a second, went insane. I just, the world tilted is all I can say. I forgot my name. I mean, I can't explain it except to know that I now know what true insanity is. It came back, I mean, but I just was screaming. The doctor said he'd never heard anybody scream so much. I just couldn't believe it. I was going to be trapped in this darkness for the rest of my life. And I didn't want to go on. And, so there you have it. And so I decided, as I do with many things, to do it right. I didn't want to shoot, like my one friend, well, the people I've known personally who's committed suicide, some of them have used guns. Some of them have used pills. But I started studying suicide and how it's done, and I realized there's so many ways it can go wrong, so many ways you can screw it up. So the more I read about it and got people to tell me about it, the scared I got. So I joined the Hemlock Society, and which was hard to do because I couldn't find it. When I lost my vision, nobody would want to help me, and I thought, damn, I should have done this before I lost my vision. But, you know, hey, who plans, you know? So anyway, I learned how to do it, and bought all the, again, I couldn't tell people the truth. I had to assemble all the equipment over a period of 4 weeks, little by little, and getting different people to help me so that nobody would put two and two together because people kept telling me, oh, Mark, life, you can have a full life. And I wanted to say, screw you. Let you walk in my shoes for a little bit, sighted person, and tell me what, I hate people who have no maladies or none that you can see, who have no physical limitations, who want to tell those of us who do that we can have a full life. And you know what? Until you walk in my shoes, don't tell me what my life can be like. All right? I find that resentful. I really, truly do. We're all alone inside our bodies, and when our bodies turn against us, it's up to us to decide whether we want to continue or not. So let's just get out of the way. Now, having said that, I did realize that I had my two cats, and that I love my two cats, and I love my name, Mark. That's the only thing about my family that I like, is that they gave me a name I truly like. And I thought, well, not that I believe in reincarnation, but if I came back, I might come back as a Shaquan or a Terrell or something stupid, one of them crazy African names that black people tend to do. I don't know what the hell is with these names today. Doesn't anybody name their kid David anymore? What the hell is that about? Well, that's, again, for another discussion. But I digress. Okay, so I decided to give myself about 3 months. I thought, okay, if I, you know, I had all my paraphernalia to do the suicide. I'd done the research, set everything up, and I thought, okay, if I feel this way in 3 months, I'm out of here. And I meant that. I even made suicide tapes. I couldn't write anything, and I didn't feel like doing Braille, so I made tapes and had it all set to go. And somewhere around in a month and a half in, I decided I didn't want to do it. Okay. But since then, I haven't considered. The funny thing is, the other back on December 11th, when the judge signed the order to have me removed from my house, summarily removed from my house, immediately removed from my house, I was sitting in the car out in the rain with the two people who had given me a lift to the courthouse, both women. One I'd known for about 18 years, one I'd known about 3 years. And they said that they truly feared that I was going to commit suicide because I was so quiet. And they weren't used to hearing me so quiet or not hearing me talk. We sat in the rain, and I was motionless probably for about 20, 35 minutes. I mean, it was, they didn't, I know I could feel their own tension. I don't know what they thought I was going to do. And it struck me as odd that they would think I would commit or even consider suicide just because I lost my house. But I understand. I mean, people who know me the longest know I'm a very emotional person. Emotional in the sense that I feel things very deeply. Not that people don't, but I mean, I wear my heart on my sleeve. Let's put it that way. But I have learned a long time ago the difference between feelings and actions. And after what happened back in 2001, because I remember on the day I lost my vision, the day I realized I couldn't get my vision back, which was a Sunday, and the day I decided I can do this, which was about a month and a half later, on that Sunday and up until the moment I decided I didn't want to die, or at least not by my own hand, no one could have convinced me that I wasn't going to commit suicide, okay? So having gone through that, I realize now that things can change in an instant. Suicide is such a permanent solution to any problem. I don't know if you know it's a solution, but whatever it is, once you do it, you can't undo it. So, there's an old Kentucky saying, and maybe it's just an old saying, but talk about women. I remember, some people, when they lose their spouses, or I don't mean through death, I mean because of, disease or whatever. And I've always said this, when a woman breaks your heart or a guy breaks your heart, remember, no one is worth dying for. Worth killing for, maybe, but not worth dying for. I don't know if that's true or not, but there you have it. Anyway, I don't want you thinking that I'm a proponent of suicide, although I will say this. I don't think I or anyone else has the right to tell somebody that they should go on in the face of something that they don't want to. Now, of course, then it comes down, you have to assume that the person's well-balanced. I mean, obviously, many people, suicide is a quick answer. It should ever be your first answer. But on the other hand, I don't think I have the right to tell you whether you can or cannot take your life. I would hope that you value your life enough to at least give yourself a waiting period. And I gave myself 3 months. I would think at least 6 months would be a fair thing for most people. And I'm not saying even then. Now, do I believe in suicide prevention lines? No, I don't. And I'll tell you why. People who really want to kill themselves don't call suicide prevention lines. The only people who call hotlines are those who want to be saved. I mean, really, that's true. That's my opinion. When someone really, really wants to do the deed, believe me, you don't give a damn what anybody else thinks. If you did, then you probably wouldn't do it. I mean, my friend Dan, like I said, he had a 13-year-old son who needed him terribly. And in those moments, I'm sure he wasn't thinking about his son. People who are reaching out, in my opinion, want to be saved. And they want to know that they still matter. And I think that's great. But do I think it will really prevent suicide? Absolutely not. And as far as those who say, well, if you have a life-threatening illness, I do believe in, I'm not going to say I believe in it because I've never had to face it. But I don't have a moral problem with suicide. Suicide-assisted deaths, and the only reason is because I've been made aware of some illnesses where your brain is fine, but your body is completely shut down, and to me, that would be worse than death, and I can't believe that a God, any just God, would want anyone to suffer that much. Now, you can say, yeah, Mark, but if you're a Christian, the Bible teaches us this and that. Yes, I understand, but the Bible also teaches mercy and compassion, and I've set, been with people near the end of their lives, at the end, and they've suffered cancer. And I know that when at the time they wanted to commit suicide, they were too weak to do so. And I personally could not assist them. Let me get that straight. I'm not a Kevorkian, although I don't have a personal problem with him. I just couldn't do it. I don't know if I could live with it. Would I prevent somebody from doing it? Probably not. Assuming I agreed with the, you know, if somebody said I stubbed my toe and I want to kill myself, and I, you know, that's all things being equal. This is a very personal thing. In the end, though, I think it's when I look at my cats, Amy and Rosalie, and how much I love them, and I know that if they came down with some kind of paralysis or kidney failure or something that's going to render them the rest of their lives, you know, disabled. I would not want to keep them around for my own benefit. And I know that as a culture in the U.S., if a horse breaks a leg, you know, traditionally, we put animals out of their misery in a heartbeat. We can't think, stand of a thought of a dog or a cat or a horse or a cow being lame or in pain or having to we would not keep use heroic measures to keep an animal around because we think it would be unfair to the animal. Then I ask, why do we do that to our own species? You know, again, there's no right and wrong here. I'm just saying, before you pass judgment on somebody else, walk in their shoes. I don't know if it's worth dying for. I don't know what's worth dying for. I know I would die for my country. I know that I would die to protect innocence in a heartbeat. And I would be glad to give my life for that. I know that, and you know, I don't care if you agree with what's going on in Iraq or not. It's irrelevant. This is a personal thing. For me personally, I don't think there isn't a greater honor than laying down your life for the sake of someone else. Assuming that someone else is worth it. Now, let me get this straight, okay? If I'm 43 years old, and the only other person in the room is a 102-year-old person, and the terrorist says, okay, which one of you guys are going to go? No, I'm not going to jump in front of a 43-year-old person. I'm not going to jump in front of a 102-year-old guy who's going to be dead pretty soon anyway. I'm sorry. So let's be honest. I mean, you know, if you say, well, you know, can you play God? Yeah, I guess I am, because I'm not going to sacrifice. You know, if I got 40 years to go, and this person's already 102, they got their chance, all right? Let's just be honest. And where's the cutoff? I guess it depends on how much I like the person, but I would think about 80. If you're 80, you're pretty much going if you're on my ticket. I'm sorry, you know, that's just the way it is. Somebody asked me once, they said, well, if you'd been on the Titanic, and there was only one seat left, and you had this old person you had to say, I hope you had a good life. I'll give you regards for your generation, your family, because I have not died for no 100-year-old person. Okay. Anyway, this is a serious subject, and I'm not making light of it, but each of you have to ask yourself, is it worth dying for? And I think the only one who can answer that is you. So if you ever find yourself trying to commit or thinking about suicide, there is nothing wrong with thinking about it. But please understand, thinking about something and taking that step are two different things. But if you're hell-bent on it, the only thing I would suggest is that you give yourself at least a six-month grace period. Write it on the calendar. And if you feel the same way in 6 months, again, maybe give yourself another month. You just got to be sure, because it's once you take that step, there's no coming back. And when I think about what I would have missed if I had done away with myself back in 2001, it just scares me. I would have missed being kicked out of my house, but there were some wonderful things, some incredibly wonderful things I've experienced since then that I wouldn't have wanted missed for the world, and not the least of which is doing this show for you and being a part of the breakthrough in technology that allows us as blind people and regular people, sighted, I say low vision and blind people, and sighted people to touch other people's lives with the click of a button. I wouldn't miss this for the world. And I love my cats. I love my name. And I just love life. How's that? And even on the darkest days, I guess I'll always will. So, hey, remember to make a joyful noise today. I'm sad about my friend being gone. But I understand, you know, he really has been in misery for a long, long time. There are times, and I'll just add this, I want to throw this in there too. When I think about people like Michael Jackson or Ray Charles, and you know all the people, I think about all the people I used to look forward to meeting someday. Not Michael Jackson was not one of them, but Ray Charles, Mr. Rogers from my childhood. I feel like I'm being left behind. I almost envy them. There are days when it's like, well, at least they're done, especially when they die of natural causes. There are moments when I feel like I'm tired and I don't want to go forward, and I'm not going to take my own life, but always tell people, you know, if one day I'm gone because of a natural situation, don't mourn me, because it's been a long road. I get tired. And I do envy the people who go ahead of me. I also feel like I'm being left behind, because when I look at the superstars of the day, there's hardly any of them I'd ever want to meet. I wouldn't give half of them the time of day. In fact, most of them should be behind bars. All the people, all the real superstars that really lived up to a certain standard, or at least they led us to believe that. I don't know what they did in their personal lives. They seem to be going by the wayside. I'm feeling, I know my time is slowly but surely coming up, you know. But I mean, I'm not exactly like a Star Trek Klingon who embraces death, but I think there are worse things than death. I think being trapped in your own head where you can't move your body would be worse than death. There's some more I want to say on this, but I'm almost out of time. I'm going to try and throw this in. As a black man, I cannot help think about my life, what it would have been like. I wouldn't have lived if it had been 300 years ago, because children, black children, or coloreds, darkies, as they called us back then, niggers, as they called us back then, who were born with a disability would have been killed immediately. So, because I would have been no use on the plantation. Thank God! But anyway. I've often daydreamed, not daydreamed, but thought about if I were a healthy slave and my consort had given birth to a girl, I would know that she would probably be raped at the age of 8 and 9 and put into some, you know, being raped by white people her whole life, or even worse, beaten and God knows what. Would I allow my daughter to go through that? Clearly, I'm glad slaves did, because if they had killed all their kids, I wouldn't be here, right? So obviously, they must have had faith in the future. But I can't imagine having a child, knowing what that child would be in for, and allowing that child to live. I just don't know. It's easy for me to sit here and not have to really face it. But I'll be lying to you if I say to you that I don't think we had wives, black people, but they weren't really wives, because they could be sold at any moment, you know? But would I allow my child, knowing it, looking at my innocent baby, knowing that in 8 years from now, or maybe sooner, or maybe later, she would be little more than a bed warmer to some pig of a white man? I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. If I were, maybe my mindset would be different. And I'm glad that there were slaves, my progenitors, who had more faith in the future than I did, or do. But I have to say that on the face of it, I don't think I would have let my kids live. Because knowing what they were in for, I don't know if I could have. If that makes me a bad parent or would have been parent, so be it. But I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't have. Thank God I don't have to face that decision. And neither do you. Okay, take care, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.